From the land of the Grand Theater of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of May 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Farmers Facility in Logansport, Indiana, and take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, the state statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana will update conditions in their regions. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Find us online from Illinois Public Media at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed, with the July contract and the soft red winter wheat down 2.25 cents. The hard red July was down 0.5 cents at 7.18, and the July corn futures were up 2.75 cents at $4.72.5. September at 4.69.25, they're up 3 cents. December corn, the new crop at 4.69.5, up 2.75 cents, rather 3.75 cents. In the March, at $4.78.75, up 4 cents. July corn, $4.90.75, 3.5 cents higher. July soybeans, $14.97.75. They finished 9 higher on the day. September at July soybeans at $14.97.75, up 9. August at $14.28.25, up 9.5. September at $12.94.75, 3.25 higher. And November beans at $12.43, up 4.25. January contract, $12.48.5, up 4.25 as well. Bean meal now, July contract, $4.98.50, up $4.30. July bean oil at $39.63, that's up 31 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the June contract at $136.15, up 55. August at $137.10, up 35. August feeders at $195.57.5, finished $2.07.5 higher. And the June lean hogs at $114.55 for the day, finished down $1.95. July at $121.27.5, or $2.15 lower as they finished this Wednesday afternoon. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. July contract, $102.81 a barrel, $1.30 lower. RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $3.07. That's a penny and 2 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $2.35 and 4 cents, up 3 and 6 cents. And the spread between the two is 2 and 3 tenths of a cent narrower than yesterday at 65 and 3 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at $4.61 and 9 cents, up 11 and 4 tenths. And diesel fuel for the day, 7 tenths of a cent lower at $2.93 and 2 tenths of a cent per gallon. Gold futures finished at $1,259.30, down $6.20. And the U.S. dollar currently trading on the delayed tick, up 0.22 at 80.57. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, mostly cloudy, high of 84 degrees, a calm wind. Chance of precipitation at 60%. Tonight, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Those come before 1 in the evening, mostly cloudy. A low of 61 degrees on an east-northeast wind at 7 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall set at 50%, and Thursday a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny and a high of 82 degrees. Partly cloudy on Thursday evening, a low of 59. Friday sunny and 83 with an east wind at 7 to 10. Clear on Friday night with a low down to 60 degrees. Saturday sunny skies and 83. Mostly clear on Saturday night and 63. The extended forecast shows Sunday with a chance of rainfall, mostly sunny and 84. Otherwise, those showers might continue into Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 68. And on Monday of next week, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and 83. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continue, but partly sunny for the better part of the day with a high near 83 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's Wednesday afternoon, the 28th day of May. On the phone line, as usual, here with the closing market report, Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace and some of the things that have been happening. And maybe we should start with China, because they were in earlier this morning for a bit of a buy in the bean market.
Well, that's one area that they've been very consistent in, and they bought 110,000 metric tons of new crop beans. You know, they've been quite absent when it comes to anything on old crop beans in general. And so, you know, we saw a little bit of buying coming out of unknown from that standpoint on old crop. But, you know, it's been interesting. They're quite the group. I think if you look at China and Russia, they just inked a 30-year deal on natural gas. And that's been a long time coming. So I think on the bigger playing field, when you look at the broad spectrum that's going on, basically what you're looking at is you're looking at a situation where I don't think you can expect a whole lot of support from China when it comes to Russia and the Ukraine situation. You know, I mean, the gas situation is so important there, and, you know, the entire Ukraine situation and the delivery of gas, let's say, to Europe, that's another big thing. And now that we've got China getting along with Russia, you know, we're in a situation where it's just not good, let's put it that way.
Right, and so as we look at this, what we really end up with, I think, is a battle maybe, as we think about what the price of crude oil might be, how things might come about in Ukraine and Russia, and it really is, whether we're talking about grains or oil seeds, all about energies.
Well, it absolutely is. You know, in fact, when you looked at today, we saw crude push over 104, and that's primarily because, you know, the battle just continues to go on in the Ukraine, even though they keep on, you know, threatening more sanctions. We had the presidential election. They claim they're going to talk. Not too long ago, I saw a blurb on the wire that said that there were Ukrainian jets circling an area where the pro-Russian people are. And so, you know, it has an impact on us, whether we like it or not. And so it's not going to change anytime soon.
Let's come closer to home. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released the crop progress report. We'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana a bit later in this program. But in all, it showed that farmers across the nation finally got caught up for the most part.
They really, really did. And, you know, the one thing about the crop progress, you know, when you take a step back, USDA, in general, when they're looking at making changes to yield projections, basically are in a circumstance where they only look at Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Ohio. And so if that's the case, then when you take and you look at yesterday's numbers, it was very interesting. Those eight states represent 68% of all the planting intentions for corn, and the five-year average is 89% planted. Well, yesterday we were 91% planted in those eight states. And on beans, they represent 64% of the planting intentions. Five-year average is 59%. Yesterday we were at 64%. So, you know, those are significant numbers from the standpoint that they don't guarantee that the USDA is not going to lower the yield for some other reason. But they certainly would imply that they may not come down off of this 165.3 that we're looking at for corn. And so, therefore, we're going to have to lose acres if we're going to expect to get a smaller crop out of that. And I like to watch pasture condition ratings when it comes to wheat and everything else because, you know, it gives you a pretty broad spectrum looking across the growing areas. Wherever there's pasture, basically, there's usually something else growing. And that increased by 2% yesterday, so I'm not surprised that we saw wheat conditions increase. So a lot of good things going out there, too.
Another item that has been chasing the market a bit lower in Chicago for soybeans is the landing of South American beans on North American shores.
Well, you bet. And we had confirmation again that there are more of them coming across, you know. And so we talked this morning. I truly believe we could see the 90 million bushels come into the United States this year. On the opposite side, we've got Argentina again talking with the Paris Club about their debt. And, you know, maybe some people don't know what the Paris Club is. It's really a group of governments that Argentina owes money to. And they basically work with South America, so Brazil also works with them. But they owe about $10 billion to these particular governments, and they defaulted, of course. And so in January, Paris Club demanded they want their money. Well, January, Argentina came back and said, well, here's a strategy, because basically if you take that $10 billion, we have nothing. We're broke. And so it's interesting to see the impact on governments when you don't pay your bills. Billions of dollars have gone out of Argentina since 2007 because of the crazy spending. And, I mean, they went wild with social programs and everything else, and not a way to fund them. And so of the $10 billion, the U.S., Germany, and Japan account for $6.5 billion of that as of 2012. I haven't gotten an updated one. But the ramifications basically are is that they haven't been able to get any credit insurance. They haven't been able to get any loan guarantees. They haven't been able to get any financing from any of the Paris Club members. And so until this happens, we're probably not going to see a whole lot of selling coming out of Argentina.
Let's finish up with livestock, where lean hogs were down the limit at some point during the day today. And then, of course, I don't know whether you want to talk about potential of $200 feeder cattle or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do believe $200 feeder cattle is in the future, primarily because it takes a long time to reproduce those little babies, especially after you've gotten rid of a lot of the moms. And so I think that that can happen. But what does that ultimately mean? Well, look at the cattle crush. The implications are horrible. December 14 through April 15, returns are only $45 per head to $73.75. That's gross. And not only gross, it's gross per head.
Mm-hmm.
And June 15 to August 15, when you look at the overall, there the return per head is $6.18 to a negative $5.73. You know, so when you're looking at cattle, what does that mean to all of us? If we feed less cattle, we're going to have more corn available to the market. And on the hog side of things, cash has been backing up. And so anytime you have a lot of speculators in the market, like we do in the livestock complex in general, you're going to see them step up and also do more selling. But, you know, the hog market is a lot like going to Great America. It makes you sick a lot of times.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. As of the 25th day of this month, 88% of the corn crop has been put into the ground. The rolling five-year average is the same, or 88%. 95% of the crop is planted in Illinois, 87% in Indiana, 96% in Iowa. Minnesota farmers have planted 81% of their corn crop, and the folks in Nebraska, rounding out the top five corn-producing states, have planted 97% of their corn crop. The places that were behind would be the two Dakotas. In South Dakota, 90% of the corn crop has now been sown, and in North Dakota, they are 67% of the way done with the planting of their corn crop. Their average is 75% on the rolling five. In the soybeans, nationally, 59% of the crop has been sown. 56% is the rolling five-year average. 25% of that crop is up. It's normally at 27%. Now, let's check in with some of the state statisticians and get their local updates.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Warm temperatures and below normal precipitation in Iowa allowed soybean planting and crop progress to advance rapidly during the 5.3 days suitable for field work. Iowa experienced extreme temperatures this week with a high of 89 degrees at Sioux City on Tuesday, as well as at Burlington and Donelson on Wednesday, and a low of 40 degrees at Cresco and Elkader. Temperatures for the week averaged 2.6 degrees above normal. Light rain fell across the northwest two-thirds of Iowa Monday and across the southwest one-third of the state Thursday. Thunderstorms appeared across central Iowa Tuesday evening into Wednesday morning, bringing hail and high winds. Total rain for the week varied from nothing at Rock Rapids, Burlington, and Fairfield to 3.1 inches at the Ames Airport. Average precipitation for the week was 0.29 inches, less than the normal 1.05 inches. This was the lowest statewide total in 10 weeks. For the first time this season, both corn and soybean acreage planted were above the five-year average. Statewide, corn planting reached 96% complete, 13 points ahead of last year and 1 point above average. 67% of the corn crop has emerged, 4 days behind normal. Soybean planting progress doubled this week to 80% complete, 5 points ahead of the five-year average, while 22% of the soybean crop has emerged. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois had dry weather last week, and farmers continued to plant ahead of the five-year average pace. The average rainfall for the state was only 19 one-hundredths of an inch, which was almost three-quarters of an inch below normal. Temperatures were 1.7 degrees above normal last week. Corn planting reached 95% complete, up 11 points from last week, and 7 points ahead of the five-year average. 81% of corn acres have emerged, ahead of last year's 61% and the five-year average of 67%. The crop was rated as 4% in the very poor and poor categories, 29% in fair condition, and 67% in good or excellent condition. Soybean planting reached 64% complete, ahead of last year's 37% and the five-year average of 50%. Only 32% of the crop has emerged, so soybean crop conditions are not available yet. Winter wheat is now 81% headed, slightly behind the five-year average of 85%. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. A season high of 5 days suitable for field work allowed Minnesota farmers to make rapid planting progress during the week. But despite that progress, planting and crop development remain behind the five-year average. 81% of the expected corn acreage has been planted. That's 28 percentage points more than the previous week, but still 11 points behind the five-year average. There were scattered reports of corn being replanted in western Minnesota. Soybean planting was 49% complete, with one-third of the acres planted during the week. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Heavy rains 2 weeks ago and cool temperatures at the beginning of the last week contributed to localized flooding of fields across the state. Many areas in northern districts received no precipitation for the week, while more southern areas received as much as 1.87 inches, with scattered hail reported. Warm temperatures and dry conditions in the latter half of the week encouraged vigorous planting in most areas, including replanting of any fields damaged by hail or flood. Corn planted is 87%, versus 83% last year and 77% five-year average. Corn emerged is 68%, versus 51% last year and 56% five-year average. Corn condition is 2% very poor, 6% poor, 24% fair, 53% good, and 15% excellent. Some newly emerged corn started out yellow this week, but has improved as conditions warmed. Soybeans planted is 58%, compared to 56% last year and 50% five-year average. Soybeans emerged is 30%, versus 21% last year and 30% five-year average. Winter wheat jointing is 92%, versus 95% last year and 98% five-year average. Winter wheat headed is 61%, versus 63% last year and 76% five-year average. Farmers finished with planting were side dressing their corn and soy fields, and wheat fields were being sprayed for weeds and disease. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 25th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their local updates of crop progress across the Midwest.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Topping the news items for the day, two bulk shipments of Brazilian soybeans arrived at the U.S. ports of Wilmington, North Carolina, and Norfolk, Virginia over the weekend, the first large South American shipments to hit the U.S. East Coast. this season. They were the latest shipment since two cargoes arrived at the U.S. Gulf Coast earlier last month, starting the country's biggest wave of soy imports in history, with about 2 million tons expected to reach U.S. shores over the next 2 months. About 130,000 tons in two shipments, by the way, were unloaded by a Bunge North American terminal along the Mississippi River in the first half of April. At least seven shipments containing roughly 342,000 tons more are either currently loading, waiting to load, or sailing for the U.S. at this time. In the mean space, importers in China defaulted on at least 500,000 tons of soybeans in cargoes last month, the most in a decade, amid poor processing margins and abundant stocks at their ports, although pork and poultry prices are now rising, suggesting better feed demand in that nation. The unprofitable crushing margins could linger still for months. Some member states of the European Union are set to back a compromise to allow GM crops. European Union member states today are set to back a compromise proposal that will make it easier to get genetically modified crops approved for cultivation. The proposal would allow member states to block cultivation of GM crops even if the European Commission authorizes it for the 28-member bloc as a whole. The decision, which crucially has the backing of Germany, will be taken at a meeting of member states, ambassadors, and technical representatives. A formal vote is expected next month in Luxembourg at a meeting of EU ministers, but diplomats say it is not expected to contradict Wednesday's or today's decision. In another GMO-related issue, an organic farmer in Western Australia lost his bid to claim damages from a neighbor after genetically modified canola seed heads blew on his property, causing him to lose his license as an organic grower. The Supreme Court of Western Australia ruled on Wednesday against organic farmer Steve Marsh, who sued his former friend Michael Baxter after winds carried harvested seed from Baxter's Monsanto Roundup-ready canola crop onto the Marsh farm. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it is a Wednesday afternoon here on the closing market report. Time to check the cash grain markets. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility, they're near the Logansport, Indiana area, should be on the phone line with us to take up a cash grain basis there. Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Tara. Tell me about the marketplace, please.
Well, certainly has been an interesting end of last week, start to the week here on the futures side of things. Definitely been a lot of volatility, and we've seen some selling, especially on new crop beans, over the end of last week with the rally that we've had. And basis is starting to creep up in this area on corn, which certainly will hopefully entice some movement.
Basis creeping up, folks in the end user side running out of corn after folks were in planting mode. Has anybody been prompted to push out more corn? I would suspect not at this time.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's really running out quite yet. I just definitely things have been a lot slower as far as inbound receipts as everybody stays busy in the fields. And, you know, obviously there's corn out there. I think most people know that there's the supply there. It's just a matter of if and when it will move.
Cash basis is going up, but the futures price is going down. So sooner rather than later in your mind or not?
Well, that's the tough thing is even as basis starts to creep higher here, most folks have the staying power more so than they have in years past. And when it doesn't have a five in front of it, they're not near as interested as they once were. So at this point, it feels like basis is going to have to do more of that work to accommodate what the board has lost. And even at that, it feels like July could be a pretty heavy liquidation time. Most people will continue to wait until then.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at Delphi tonight is $4.59. At Climbers, we're $4.67. And then cash beans at Delphi are $15.43.
Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
From the Andersons there in Logansport, Indiana, to check out the cash grain market. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
It's National Hamburger Day. The word hamburger comes from Hamburg steak, which originated in the German city of Hamburg. The recipe was brought to North America by German immigrants. By the way, the cheeseburger first appeared in 1924. Credit goes to grill chef Lionel Steinberg of the Right Spot in Pasadena, California. On this day in agricultural history in 1892, the Sierra Club was formed in San Francisco for nature conservation. In 1897, Jell-O was introduced, Pearl White, a carpenter and cough medicine manufacturer, produced Jell-O varieties in strawberry, raspberry, orange, and lemon fruit flavors. By the way, the dessert was named by White's wife, May. White eventually sold the Jell-O business to a neighbor for $450, who, with the help of a national campaign in Ladies' Home Journal, pushed sales by 1902 to $250,000. And in 2003, the first cloned horse was born in a natural delivery. The foal was created in the lab by fusing an adult skin cell and an empty egg, then returning the resulting embryo to the female's womb after a few days. Although clones are currently banned from racing, tissue from many top animals have been stored for cloning. The birth was announced in Nature on August 7th of 2003. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on the phone line. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Hope you're doing the same.
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. It's been a really great spring eventually, meaning that, well, we've finally got most of the crop across the Midwest planted. I suppose producers would like to get in the field and tend some of that crop, at least doing some spraying, some other things. What's the outlook?
Well, I think it's going to be rather favorably mixed over this next 10-day period. We will see rain. We'll see some sunshine. It's really what exactly the doctor ordered, I think. This crop is going to take off with some aggressive development, and we're going to find no meaningful coolness around. I think there's a chance we may cool down a little bit in the second week of June, but even if we get that, I think by then most of the field work, at least planting, will be done, and certainly the crops will be in a good position where it won't be seriously impacted. And I don't expect temperatures to be far enough below average to make an issue anyway, but it does look like we'll see a lot of upper 70 to 80 degree days coming up here over the next week to 10 days, and we will be seeing alternating periods of rain and sunshine. So those areas that may be just a little bit dryish right now, we may get a chance for a little bit of moisture, and those areas that are a little bit wet will probably have a chance to dry down. So you can't ask for a better scenario, really, at this point in time.
Looks like a great start to the growing season for the corn and the soybeans. The wheat had a rough growing season for winter wheat, at least in the hard red portions of the belt. Although they have gotten some rain, the further north you get, the more likely that is to have helped. Have you got an assessment or not?
Well, I think that the Western Kansas and Colorado crop is still hurting rather seriously right now. And with reproduction underway and the earliest opportunity for rain in those areas being midweek next week, the odds are fairly good that we're not going to be able to fully capitalize on rain if we do get it at that point in time. Maybe a little bit of an improvement, but not dramatically. The best wheat conditions in the country will probably be in the Midwest, but also in the plains, I think we'll probably see rather good conditions in parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, maybe a few areas in northern Kansas where there hasn't been quite so much extreme here so far this season. But certainly down in the southern plains with all the excessive rains that occurred over the past week, that rain actually came too late for most of the wheat crop, but it's going to be a boon for the corn, sorghum, and cotton that's planted in the western part of Texas.
And then finally, two other crop areas that we should check in on for corn and wheat, both Ukraine and China.
Well, Ukraine, I think, is doing relatively well. Now, there's a little bit of dryness in some of the easternmost parts of that country. I don't think it's anything that's going to fester into a serious issue at the moment. But areas not too far to the east of that, in parts of Russia's Volga River Basin, there is a more serious dryness issue going on, and they may go 10 days to 2 weeks without a significant amount of rainfall there, threatening some of the production potential for later this year. And in China, it's been just absolutely a fantastic year up until until now, but there is some dryness occurring across the North China Plain, which is an important summer grain and oilseed production region, and it looks like they'll stay dry for the next 10 days or so. So we'll keep a close eye on that. At the moment, it's not a crisis, but we do need to keep close tabs.
Thanks so much, Drew. We appreciate it.
Great. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.